Would you whisper, thank you, Jesus? Would you say, thank you, Jesus? Now would you shout, thank you, Jesus? We know that the love of God is made manifest and shed abroad by the Spirit of God. But Joey, sometimes there's services where the love of God is amplified because you know that this service is strategically for men and women that are in this room. Some of you don't even realize, but the crosshairs of Christ are already on you. You're not getting to slip into just another Sunday morning service. But the love of God is honing in on your situation, on your spirit, on your posture. And I cannot tell you the expectancy in my spirit for what Jesus Christ is about to do in this room. I was making my way to land in Dallas. I was on the flight, and it's a Monday, so I was on my way back. That meant your boy was a little bit more tired. I was a little quieter. On Monday, the AirPods go in. The noise canceling gets turned on. I love God and I love people, but I'm just not really in the mood to talk. You know what I'm saying? And it's midday, I'm getting ready to land, and I'm thinking about dinner, I'm thinking about food, and I don't have a check bag. I'm just living that carry-on life. I don't got any extra baggage, and so I begin to calculate and deduce. It's amazing the mathematical mind that you can have when you are hungry and when you are hangry. And so your boy don't really do calculations very well, but this day I was beginning to deduce and calculate, and I thought, if I land and I go ahead and order my Uber and I just walk off the plane and the Uber's already there at the sidewalk, I got a 45-minute drive to my apartment, I can jump in the car, I won't even go inside, and I have about a 45-minute window to make it to this Tex-Mex Mediterranean hybrid restaurant that is also known as heaven on earth. And I have just enough time to make it before they close. And that just would be an amazing conclusion to a very Monday. And so everything is working out. I get off the plane, my Uber is there. I've got Comfort Uber. If you don't know what Comfort Uber is, that means you always drive. Well, sometimes I need somebody else to drive me. I don't always have my car. And Comfort Uber is this feature where you get to press a button and you get to tell the driver if you want AC or warm, and if you want talk and conversation or non-conversation. I'll just let you discern in the spirit what option I chose. No conversation. I think he was a rookie because he still talked to me. And because I'm a Christian, I had to talk back with a smile, even on a Monday. And so I got to my apartment, and I'm not even going inside. I'm rushing to my Honda Accord Sport. It's waiting on me, and more important, dinner is waiting on me. And I go to the parking spot, and it's not there. And I'm like, oh no. I don't got time for spiritual warfare. I don't got time for trial and tribulation. I need my car. I really need my car. And so, it's Monday. I probably just parked it on the other side of the complex. And if not, then I'm about to have a complex. And so I begin to circle around, and I can't find my car. So now I'm thinking, okay, did I leave it at my sister and brother-in-law's? Did I leave it at my parents'? Am I just not thinking? And so I'm circling around, and now I'm done thinking, all right, the devil done stole my car. This is war. Battle is beginning, and my car's been stolen. I'm about to call 911. And then all of a sudden, a rhema word came into my spirit. Revelation flooded my soul. And you want to hear the rest of the story, right? Okay, I get really insecure when people bail on my stories. all of a sudden I get this revelation, and this is the revelation. I had parked my car at the airport. Oh yeah, don't act all smart. You could have done it too. You could have done it too. And so now I'm going through condemnation and guilt as I'm thinking, Landon, you were standing on the sidewalk with keys in your pocket and a car right over there. And yet you waited for somebody else to get you to a ride. You depended on somebody else to give you a ride to a place that you could go yourself. And you had a car for, and you had keys for. Now, I'm a preacher, so you know we're about to make this spiritual. I'm telling you, some of you don't even realize the key is already in your pocket. You have the faith. You have the hunger. Don't you dare depend on somebody else. Chris, I'm telling you, there's people in this room that have the key of faith in their pocket. And if you utilize it, we are about to go somewhere in the next 25 minutes of this service. I say take out the key and let's just go where the Spirit will lead us in the next 25 minutes. Would that be all right, True Church? I want you to go with me very quickly. I know you're standing. Go with me very quickly to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. The book of Matthew, chapter 8 and verse 23. The book of Matthew, chapter 8 and verse 23. I'm so grateful as I look around and I see the manifold grace of God. And I see the faces of family and fellow believers. I'm so grateful for what God is doing in Truth Church. I'm so grateful for Pastor Darren and Sister Ginger and their family, their leadership. And for Bishop and for all of those that serve alongside, I look around and I continually see men and women that are kingdom-centric and that are placing the kingdom first. And I'm excited. I'm so grateful. And I'm so thankful for what God did last Sunday. I'm so thankful for how God has arranged for this Sunday. And I just get more street cred. We get to run it back. And I told you last time, if you don't like me, deal with it. I like you. And if you don't love me, I don't care. I love you. And so we're family. And I just believe that our Father is in the room and He's going to speak to us. So are you ready? We don't need an hour. We don't need 2 hours. We don't even need 45 minutes. We're just going to let God do a quick work, all right? All right. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. And when Jesus was entered into a boat, His disciples followed Him, and behold, there arose a great storm in the sea, so much so that the boat was covered with the waves, but Jesus was snoozing. And His disciples, the bros, came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, because we're about to die. And this is His response. Why are you fearful? O ye of little faith. And then He arose and He rebuked the wind and the sea, and where there had previously been a great storm, now there is a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him? Last verse. And when He was come to the other side into the country of Gadara or Decapolis or Gerasenes, there met Him two possessed with devils. Someone say they got issues. Coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. But Jesus is not just any other man. Your pastor quoted it this morning. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Another translation of that is simply this: where the Spirit has lordship, there is liberty. I'm telling you, I feel that reign and that authority and that dominion and that liberty in this house right now. So for just the next few moments, I want to preach to you on this simple subject, cloudy with a chance of rain. Cloudy with a chance of rain. Would you turn to your neighbor and would you tell them, cloudy with a chance of rain? Turn to your other neighbor, the one you just rejected. Tell them, cloudy with a chance of rain. One more time, would you just lift your hands and would you just thank God? Lord, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. I thank you for my family. Let my mouth be your megaphone. Lord, your mercies are new every morning. God, they rival the number of the stars. Your grace is exceedingly great. God, I thank you for allowing us this divine opportunity. I pray, God, that in the next few moments, every single singular person would become increasingly aware that you are speaking to them, that you see them, that you hear them. And God, in gratitude and therefore by faith, I thank you in advance for what you are about to do in this house. And we speak it, we prophesy it, we believe it, we agree in the name of Jesus. Somebody say in Jesus' name. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. We might as well just clap just one more time as loud as we have all service. Can you do that as a signal of faith? God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Jesus is giving an invitation to the bros, to those closest to him, to his disciples. It is a clear invitation to leave death behind them and to step into a deeper place. Today he is asking the disciples to RSVP for a place that they have not yet tried. Today, he is inviting his followers to go to the other side. The other side is not just the other side. It is Decapolis, literally meaning the land of the cast out ones. No doubt this is foreign and perhaps even fearful to these Jewish minds and ears, as no doubt they have heard in their upbringing from mother that you can go visit your cousins in Capernaum and you can go to Bethsaida, but if I ever find out you went to Decapolis, I'm gonna. Mom ever just paused there and she kind of forgot, but you just knew she would do when she remembered it. They didn't find themselves in Decapolis. This is where the heathens lived. This is where wickedness dwelled. This was the capital of sin. This is where perhaps the jurisdiction of the rabbi ended. But on this day, Jesus was about to defy boundaries. And Jesus was about to expose the fact that with him, there are no boundaries. I want you to understand that upon review, they have the ability to make it to their same destination by foot. They have the ability, Tara, to literally walk around the Sea of Galilee and to make it to their same destination by foot, by land. It perhaps would be the safer route. But no, Jesus does not allow them to circle around what they are supposed to step into. And so it was then, so it is now. You and I do not have the luxury to circle around the deep, for deep is calling to deep, and you are not just an ordinary husband and an ordinary father and an ordinary woman and an ordinary wife and an ordinary no. You have been called to a deeper place. You have been called to the depth. So it is. God is calling Truth Church. Who is Truth Church? Truth Church is you. For Truth Church is not carpet, it's not a stage, it's not lights, it's not a podium, it's not a building. You are Truth Church. So if you're not praying, Truth Church is not praying.
Yeah.
And if you're not believing, Truth Church is not believing. And if you're not expecting, Truth Church is not expecting. For the church is not somewhere out here in the ether. It's not a theory. It is you and I. It is the people of God that are living and breathing. You and I make up the church. That's why when hell is fighting Truth Church, hell is fighting you. And that's why when God is calling Truth Church, God is calling you. So it is that deep is calling to deep. Jesus is not going to allow you and I the luxury to circle around commitment, to circle around sacrifice, to circle around sanctification, to circle around holiness, to circle around discipleship, to circle around submission. Jesus will not let us circle around what we are supposed to step into. I think I like it on land. I think I like it just oozing through life, just another Pentecostal plopped on a pew. What if I die in the deep? What if you die on land? What if I die in the middle of all the danger? What if you die living it safe? Jesus invites one of his disciples to come out and step on the water. His disciple, knowing him, said, if it's really you, you'll invite me, you'll allow me, you'll compel me and commission me to step where you are walking. And the response of Jesus is simply that. Step out from where you are. Step out to where I am. And if you're willing, I'm willing. Come to me and walk on water. And so we know what happens next. The Bible lets us know that that disciple begins to walk towards Jesus. But then we also know what happens next. The Bible says that the wind and the waves begin to seduce him. And what takes place? The Bible says he sinks. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he began to sink. And beginning to sink is not the same thing as sunk. Can I just preach to somebody in this room? You are still human. You are still human. You're not an angel. You haven't made it to heaven. You don't have a halo. You are still human that have fears and you have doubts and you have shortcomings. And there's some times you almost gave up and you almost went backward. But by the fact that you are here this morning tells me that you have not sunk. I need to preach to somebody. It's Sunday, and Saturday I was beginning to sink. But on Sunday, the hand of God is reaching out to me. I'm here to prophesy to somebody. You can walk where you used to sink. You can walk where you used to relapse. You can walk where you used to... says he began to sink, but he was near enough to Jesus that the hand of the Lord could reach him and pull him back up. And now he is walking where he used to sink. I gotta just say it again because somebody didn't hear me the first time. Now he is walking where he used to sink. Now I'm telling you right now, some of you are about to shout where you used to be depressed. Some of you are about to have dominion where you used to cave and cave again. Some of you are about to have accountability where you can walk on top of what used to pull you down. I'm not going to die in the deep. I put your hand over your heart. Say, I'm not going to die in the deep. I'm not going to die in the deep. The deep is not where I die. And deep is calling to deep. And so now the disciples find themselves in a boat in the middle of the deep. And of course, it begins to rain. The thunder
begins to strike. The lightning is flashing. Rain is falling. And Jesus is snoring. I don't have scripture for it, but maybe, just maybe, for dramatic effect. Jesus is asleep in the boat. And somebody says, yo, you're going to have to wake him up. Because if we do not wake him up, fam, it's over. We're about to die. You wake him up. No, no, I vote that you, well, you know what? I took a vote with me, myself, and I, and it's unanimous. You're going to wake him up. Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Jesus! Lord, we're about to die. Save us, Lord, or we perish. Can I just celebrate their faith right now? Oh, wait, that's faith? No, there's faith in there. You kind of got to squint to see it, but there's faith in that statement. Lord, save us. Even when they are off balance and the storm is tossing and turning them, and their life, quite figuratively and literally, is topsy-turvy, someone has not lost lordship. Can I just let you in on some of my prayers? I mean, I had some transparent moments last week. I think I can be real with you this Sunday and you not judge me. That's a lie. Some of you will judge me, but I think most of you won't. This is what some of my prayers sound like. I don't understand you, Lord. I do not know why you have not answered my prayer yet. Lord. I'm still waiting. Lord. It is really hard to trust you and love you right now. Lord. Oh, am I being too real? But I have made up in my mind, no matter how weary, no matter how bloody, no matter how bruised, no matter how vicious the storm, I will not lose lordship. I will not. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I may be sick, but you're still a healer, Lord. I'm in a valley, but you're the God of the mountain, Lord. I don't know what to do, but you still reign as Lord. Even Thomas said, my Lord. I have doubts, but I'm not letting go of lordship. I have fears and insecurities, but I'm not letting go of lordship. I dare you just to lift your hands, whether standing or seated, and just say, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. You want to threaten hell in the middle of your storm? Don't lose lordship. In my notes, but they thought they were about to die.
Yeah.
Lord, we're about to perish. And so in their last moments, they had still not let go of the fact that even if I die, I'm dying with you as Lord. Yeah. Because to die with you as Lord is better than to live without you being Lord. If I have to die in this trial, in this mess, I may die without answers. I may die without a prayer being, but I will not die without him being Lord. Oh, I gotta keep preaching. Can I preach just a few more minutes? Watch. The Bible says that he awakes. He arises and he rebukes them. He has the audacity to rebuke them. And I think maybe he just yawns and cracks his back. Again, I don't got scripture for it, but the Landon Gore 2025 translation coming out not yet in bookstores. That's what it says. I think he may have just cracked his back and yawned and said, "Ho ye, why are you fearful, ye of little faith?" Then the Bible says he begins to speak. And where there had previously been a great storm, lest the Bible says there is great peace, because where sin doth abound, grace doth much more. I don't care how dark, how vile, how decadent, how weird, how wild, how dysfunctional your life or past is. Heaven will never be outdone by hell. You're telling me that we're living in 2024 where the spirit of Antichrist is rampant, but I'm telling you, we're living surrounded by the glory of God, because heaven knows how to flex. Heaven knows what you and I do not know. But what heaven wishes we would know is that heaven will never be outdone by hell. But here's what the disciples don't realize. Chris, I need your help real quick. Can you help me? Run up here. Jordan, I need you to help me. And I need you three guys. Run up here. Help me. Help me. Run, 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 run. Run in the Greek means run. Run in the Hebrew ironically means the same thing. Run. Y'all give it up. Now, these guys look all sharp. But right now, they're the disciples. They're the bros. Y'all look a little too sharp. You should wear it on your head. And how about we put your tie behind you? And how about we take one of those shoes off? Can we take one of those shoes off? No pressure, but everyone's waiting on you. And these guys are ragged. They're discombobulated. They're in the middle of a storm. And can you be Jesus? I need you to stay humble. Don't let it go to your head. It's just for the skit. Now, do they look like they've been in a storm? I think we're there. Kind of. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. I would never. But if I let my intrusive thoughts win, and I knew y'all didn't have a good lawyer, no one could sue me, I might I don't think I would do it. I'm just saying, if I let my intrusive thoughts win, I would. So here's what the disciples do not realize. Now, y'all, don't hold a grudge against me all service. Like, that would be really awkward and weird. I'll give y'all Chick-fil-A gift cards later. Just get over it. You can see the effects of a storm on the outside. Yeah. Maris, we don't always see the effects of a storm on the inside. But Jesus can see what the evangelist can't see. And Jesus can see what pastor misses. And Jesus can see what everybody on your row is ignorant of. And what the disciples don't know is that they are in a storm on the outside to get to a man who has a storm on the inside. Joey, can you run up here and help me? I need you to, y'all give it up for Joey, since he's not running very fast. So I'm helping you out. I didn't want all that awkward silence. I'm helping you out. Well, they're not clapping anymore, so you need to kind of like, there we go. Jesus is in a storm on the way to a storm. This is bigger than you. Before you come to church and just think this whole service is all about you, it's also about the person sitting next to you. And it's about the person that you're going to see tomorrow. And it's about your spouse and your home life and the people that you affect or infect. What the disciples cannot see is that there is a man that is living in the tombs. He is living in the caves. The Bible says he is crying day and night in the mountains. Yeah. Just because you're living in a high place doesn't mean you can't be going through a low point. Oh, they got the job promotion. They got the stock in Tesla. They got the G-Wagon. They show up looking proper and wearing their Sunday best. Just because you're wearing your Sunday best doesn't mean you're not going through your very worst. I'm just going to tell you, you can't fake God out. Because God sees what nobody else sees. The Bible, can we just have a little Bible study for just a minute? I'm almost done. Can I keep just preaching for like 5 more minutes? I'm almost done. Can we just have a little Bible study? There's two things in our Bible that go to and fro. The devil and the eyes of the Lord. I'm told y'all, I'm simple. I'm not the sharpest crayon in the pencil box, but I can figure this one out. The Bible says there's only one devil. There ain't multiple devils. There's only one devil. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. And he is not everywhere at once. Oh, that's your advocate. That's not your attacker. Don't ever confuse the two. Your enemy is not as powerful as we give him credit for. Now, we are not ignorant of his devices. Therefore, we are not ignorant of him, but neither do we overcorrect and give him too much undue attention. Amen. That's why 90% of my prayer time is not directed at the devil. Come on. Why would I talk to him? Amen. There's only one devil. So stay with me. Stay with me. If he's going to go somewhere, he has to go there. God just has to look there. Because the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. So I told y'all, this is simple. I get excited about stupid stuff, small stuff, silly stuff. If you don't get excited about it, I'll still get excited about it. God saw you before the devil got to you. You don't know what kind of home life I was born into. The eyes of the Lord saw you before the sin got to you, before the abuse got to you, before the pornography got to you, before the alcohol got to you, before the drug overdose happened. No, you don't know. No, I do know. In your mother's womb, God created you and formed you. And if he could ordain the prophet to be a prophet in his mother's womb, he could ordain your steps and your stops. God saw you, and he still sees you. And all the disciples can see is an evangelist that threw water on them. But the eyes of Jesus can see what nobody else sees. For there's a man who's been crying and screaming day and night. He's a 24/7 cycle of shame and regret and suicidal ideation. He's living among death. He's living among bones. He's living among graves. He's living among tombs. No man will pass by him, but Jesus. But Jesus does not just reign supreme in the 80s, and he doesn't just reign supreme in the early 2000s, and he doesn't just reign supreme before COVID. And he doesn't just reign supreme in the South. And he doesn't just reign supreme in Africa where there's all these miracles. He reigns and he rules wherever he looks. And the eyes of the Lord see everything. The heavens are his throne. The earth is his footstool. And the Bible says that Jesus is about to get on sight. And there is a man that is about to run to him. And so if that man is going to run to him, that means he knew he was coming. And if he knew he was coming, that means he saw him before he got there. I told you I'm simple. You should try it out. Give it a 30-day free trial. This is what I think. I think that he's living in the cave. And I think the rain is falling. and the thunder is pounding and the lightning is striking. And I think he comes to the edge of that cave, and I think he begins to peer through the fog, and he's seeing what he's seen before. It's nothing his naked eye has not beheld. It's just another storm, and it looks like another boat that's caught up in the storm. But then he sees something he has never seen. There is a shadowy figure that begins, there is a shadowy figure that begins to step up in that boat. And while he cannot hear what he is saying, he can see the effects of what he is speaking. Musicians, come. I'm not done. I just want everyone to think I'm done. But I'm almost done. Watch. He cannot hear what Jesus is saying. All he knows is that there is a stranger standing in a boat. His mouth is moving. His finger is pointing. And all of a sudden, there is a great calm and peace and solace where there has been previously turmoil. And I think something bows up on the inside of him. And I think something begins to pulsate. And I think something begins to speak and say, if that man has authority on the outside storm, I wonder if he has authority on the inside storm. If the wind has to obey him, I wonder if suicidal thinking has to obey him. If the waves have to bow to him, I wonder if condemnation... Can I just go ahead and tell you? It does. It does. He reigns and rules. There were storms on the outside, but also storms on the inside. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to somebody right now. And the Bible says that when Jesus gets on the scene, when Jesus gets on sight, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that he runs to Jesus. Okay, you got to hear me right now. In case you didn't realize it, you're full of devils right now. Your life is kind of a mess. It's pretty dysfunctional. And the Bible says that he ran and he fell at the feet of Jesus. You know what I've learned? There are more people bound by their cooperation than their chains.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
Joey, sin is powerful. Regret and condemnation and junk that we allow into our lives that distances us from Jesus is powerful. But it's not as powerful as our hunger for him and our desperation for him. And there are too many people that are bound by their cooperation than their chains. I've seen people come into the house of God. They're bound and they're shackled. And you know what they do? They cooperate. They just cooperate. But then I've seen other people that come in under more duress, under more attack, under more shackles, and under more chains. And you know what they do? I'll tell you what they don't do. They don't cooperate. Because in the second song, by the fourth song, because where the Spirit regains lordship, there will always be liberty. Some of you don't even realize it's not your sin and it's not your shame that is keeping you bound. It is your stinking thinking. It is your attitude. It is your cooperation. I dare a man of God, I dare a woman of God to say on this Sunday, I'm not playing safe, I'm not playing cute, and I will not cooperate. I'm going to give you 10 seconds just to wave your hands, to move your feet, to lift your voice. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to tell hell, I will not cooperate. Woo! Some of you don't know what that just did. I'm going to give you another 10 seconds. There are going to be some that will just watch, and that's fine. I'm going to give somebody else another 10 seconds just to move their feet and to move their faith and to open up their spirit. Woo! Watch. Watch. Remain standing. Remain standing. I'm almost done. He makes it to the feet of Jesus. I need you to fall at the feet of Jesus. Now I want you to I want you to notice something. I want you to notice the first words of hell. Now, this is where I need somebody else. You're good. Let me think this through. I didn't really think this through. I know the one person that wouldn't be mad at me if I had them be the devil. I think it's you. Yeah, would you be mad at me if you were the devil? Can you come over here and be the devil? Now, my man's got swag. He's got a sports coat. If you done thought the devil came into your life looking all ugly, nah, he'd probably come with a sports coat like this. So I want you to see what's going to happen. There's about to be a conversation between the divine and the demonic. And I want you to hear what hell says first. He says, why have you come to torment us before our time?
Why have you come to torment us before our time? Why have you come to torment us from our time?
Think about this. This isn't my message, but somebody needs to hear this. Probably was a rookie demon. Probably was a junior devil that said this. Because he had the audacity to tell the one that created time, the one that was before time, after time, yet always in time, you're too early. You're too early. Okay, so this is what I submit to you. If a demon can have the audacity to tell Jesus he's too early, why can't a child have the audacity to tell Jesus he's not too late? Gary, demons have to beg. We get to pray. We get to march boldly into the throne room of grace. So why would we let a demon out intercede us? I'm just going to tell somebody in this room, this ain't for everybody, but this is for a few somebodies. It's not too late. 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 So then, this is what Jesus says. Are you with me? Are you with me? This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, what's your name? So what'd you say, what's your name?
What's your name?
And this is the response, Legion.
Legion.
I want you to hear it just one more time. What's your name?
What's your name?
Legion.
Legion. Joey, I got a really deep question for you. I need to know your first name.
Joey.
Are you positive? Hand on the Bible app. What's your middle name?
So my name is actually William Joseph.
So you kind of lied to me. It was kind of a lie. So your first name is William. Your second name is Joseph. I see why you went with Joey. And your last name is Knesic. So let's just give us a moment. William Joseph Knesic. Hand on the Bible app. You're positive. Hand on the Bible app one more time. Okay. So you're telling me that your first name is not Legion. You're telling me your middle name's not Legion. You're telling me your last name's not Legion. So Legion was not the name of the man. It was the name of the one speaking on behalf of the man. There's too many heavenly callings that are getting hellish answers because we're letting something or someone speak for ourselves. I'm going to say it again. There's too many heavenly callings that are getting hellish answers because we're letting our past speak for us. Today at Truth Church on a Sunday is the day that you decide to speak for yourself. Today is the day. Mama, Daddy, single adult, prodigal, veteran believer, today is the day that we open our mouths and we speak for ourselves. Can I ask you your name? What's your name?
Kimberly.
Kimberly. What's your name?
Kylie.
Kylie. What's your name?
Patrick.
Patrick. What's your name?
Ivan.
What's your name?
Ashley.
What's your name?
Joshua.
What's your name?
Phil.
Y'all give me just a minute. We're going to get the whole church. Doug, what's your name?
Doug.
What's your name?
Brooklyn.
What's your name?
Ezra.
Ezra. Y'all give it up for the cameraman. I'm right here. What's your name?
Roman.
Roman. That's a good name. What's your name?
Kelly.
Y'all be patient with me. We're almost there. Let's just pause and take a deep breath. Too much Chick-fil-A, not enough keto. All right, we're almost done. Luke, what's your name?
Luke.
What's your name?
Joseph.
Last one. You're the grand finale. What's your name?
Mom.
Mom. I think I got room for one more. One more. You just look really cool, so I've got to ask you. What's your name?
Hunter.
Hunter. Okay, for all of you waiting for some deep spiritual reason for why I did that, I just wanted hell to know. I just wanted hell to know. Hell can label you. Hell cannot name you. I said hell can label you. Hell cannot name you. You are called. You are chosen. You are a royal priesthood. I can't preach the rest of the message. We'll have to do it another time. But I'm telling you right now, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has stepped into your story. I'm telling you right now that the eyes of the Lord are upon you. He can see you. He can see into you. He can see what you are. He can see what you're becoming. He can see where you've been. And he can see where you're going. He's delivered. He's set free. You know what Jesus does? Jesus doesn't really negotiate, but hell tries. Listen, the last thing hell said was, do we have to leave the area? Go back and read it. There comes a moment where hell knows we're going to be delivered. It just knows. It just knows. Some of you don't even realize it yet, but he realizes it. They're getting the Holy Ghost today. They're being refilled today. They're being renewed in their mind. Today, can't do anything about it. We tried to say Jesus was too early, but they said it's not too late. It's done. So then the next question was, can we stay in the area? So this was their tactic, Layla. If she's going to get delivered, does she have to get delivered? If you're going to get delivered, does the person beside you have to get delivered? Can we stay in the area? Jesus didn't acquiesce, and Jesus did not negotiate. You know where those demons went? They went into the pigs. The pigs went over the cliff, into the water, the Sea of Galilee, the last place Jesus moved. I'm trying to stop. Can I just give you a little spiritual warfare principle? When hell is attacking your peace and your home and your decisions and your faithfulness and your mind, take hell where Jesus moved last. Because the last miracle is never the last miracle. And the last time Jesus spoke, some of you don't even realize it, but you're going to go back to today. And you're going to go back to this Sunday. And you're going to say, if God could speak to me Sunday,
he can speak to me on Tuesday. And if I could feel the presence of God on Sunday, then I can feel him on Friday. Because the last time God spoke is not the last time God spoke. And the last time Jesus moved is not the last time he moved. And the last time he healed is not the last time he healed. So this is the last thing Jesus told him. Jesus looked at that man that had been delivered. So much I could say, I'm trying to skip so much, even though you don't think I'm skipping anything. I'm skipping some stuff. But here's what he said. He could have been Jesus' new disciple. He loved Jesus. He wanted to follow Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? Go home. Talk about underwhelming. Talk about anticlimactic. He looks at him and he says, go home. But what sounded like demotion was in reality promotion. And it's one of the most grace-infused statements in all of our Bible. Because when Jesus told that man to go home, he was letting him know the tombs are not home. The cave is not home. The dark corner of cynicism and depression and despondency and church hurt and excuses and pettiness is not home. Somebody's going to go back home today. I said, someone's going to go back home today. The miracle's not going to stay in this house. The miracle's going to go to your house. Would you just join me in this front right now? If anything that has been spoken has resonated with you, would you just step out from where you are right now? If you feel the pull and tug of God's Spirit, would you step out of your row, your seat right now? If you feel the eyes of the Lord singling you out, if you feel deep calling you, would you step out from where you are right now? It's a little stormy. It's a little chaotic. But it's cloudy with a chance of rain. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is in this room. And somebody is getting ready to march boldly into the throne room of grace. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be spooky, mystical, or weird, but I can see it on some of your faces. If I could, I'd pull you out into a separate line. God's come for everybody in this room, but I'm telling you, there are key somebodies in this house. And God would have had me come even if it was only for one singular person. You believe me? I said, you believe me? It's not going to be hard. It's not going to be complicated. But if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, today is your day to stop procrastinating. Today is your day to stop praying about what you already know to do. Today is your day to be buried in the name of Jesus and to be washed in the blood and to have every sin forgiven. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, today is your day to just simply open up your spirit and let the river that you're feeling around you come on inside of you and flow outside of you. God wants to restore. God wants to renew. God wants to reconcile. And I'm telling you right now, it's about to be made manifest in this house. There's prayer workers, there's staff in this front, but God is about to overwhelm this house. You may feel somebody come next to you. You may feel someone put their hand on your shoulder. Maybe nobody prays with you. Right where you are, God's going to minister to you, and God's going to speak to you, and somebody's coming out of the cave today. I said, somebody's coming out of the cave today. It's where you slept, it's where you lived, but it was never home. The cave was never home. So would you close your eyes with me all across this house? That's it. I feel you, Jesus, in this room right now. I feel your presence hovering in this house. You're waiting for me to put the mic down. You're waiting for me to get done because you are moving and speaking and confirming to your children, to your babies, to your sons and your daughters. Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We surrender. We fall at your feet. We come to you in expectation and worship. Lord, I believe you're getting ready to heal. I believe you're getting ready to set free. I believe you're getting ready to deliver, to feel and refill. Lord, I say yes to what you are getting ready to do. I say yes. We're not coming to beg. We're not coming
as demons and devils approach you. We're coming as sons and daughters. We're not coming to beg. We are coming to pray and petition, knowing that you are our Heavenly Father and knowing that it is your good pleasure. I feel you. I feel you in this room. He's here right now. I'm done. I want you to lift up your hands right now. Lift up your hands all across this room. I want you to take a physical step forward. Those of you in the front, take two or three steps. Those of you behind, I want you to take a step right now. They're going to begin to sing in just a moment, but I want you to lift up your hand. If you're an intercessor, I want you to help me pray right now. I want you to add volume to this atmosphere. I want you to raise the decibel level in this room right now. Lordship is in this house, and where there is lordship, there is liberty. Come on, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Come on, something's beginning to move right now. Something's beginning to shift right now. Come on, Truth Church. The King is getting back on the throne. The King is getting back on the throne. The King is getting back on the throne. Come on, that's it. Would you raise your hands just a little higher? Would you lift your voice just a little louder? Come on, there's a renewing coming right now. There's a renewing coming right now. Come on, that's it. It's here. It's here. Don't miss it. This is your moment. This is your day. This is your moment.
No shadow.
Yes. Yes.
That has ever overcome your life.
Be baptized today.
There is no rival.
Be set free today. Receive clarity today. Walk in freedom today.